Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat, broken day to bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad at a bad day, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods, where Grandma likes to put flour in her vaporizer and have a little toke before she goes to bed in the Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, the written tablet, and some kind of fashion, shake it up. She do, but only for Nick, come around, fight to party, up rats on the west side, that the bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. She do be shake it. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell and Carver High tonight on the semi, the big rig, the Peterbilt, cruising coast to coast, top to bottom, east to west. We're everywhere. Good to have all of our radio affiliates on the Sports Grid overnight scene. Of course, Farrell on the Bench, Sports Rage, Bagels and Bad Beats. It's what's up, and I hope you're doing all right. Anyway, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff tonight. Hopefully, none of it makes any sense to you at all. The guy with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle. Actually, he wasn't. I went for my prostate exam last week. Everything went all right. So anyway, the DH we're going to get into tonight, because they're going to have a DH now in the National League. And that's huge, because we've been clamoring for that forever. And then you obviously know, I think that once they start the DH in the NL, it'll stick. And that'll be permanent. They're saying it's like a, you know, 2021-22 type deal. I'll get into the details of it. But I think it'll be forever. Plus, I think the baseball deal is a done deal. I think they're going to play ball. I think that's inevitable. I think they're just playing release games with the media and with the public. Oh, we don't have a deal yet. We don't have anything done yet. Yeah, they do. They have a deal. It's going to happen. You're going to have baseball. That's all there is to it. Go with us tonight on the Bench.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Farrell on the Bench. So the deal is that baseball will include a universal DH in 20 and 21 in those seasons. Of course, in the proposal, in the deal that's going to go down, they're going to play a 60-season full prorated salaries, expanded playoffs. That means they're going to have more teams in the playoffs, more series. And it includes a $25 million postseason pool. Baseball is the only sport that has different rules, of course, with, the leagues. And the DH was adopted by the AL in 73, and they've never had it. The proposed deal, adding a DH in the NL. They tried to do it last year, but the change was not adopted by the league. Then the pandemic hit, and then now they tentatively agreed to a universal DH in March. And Carver, what do you think? I mean, the bottom line is they're going to have a DH this year in this short pandemic season, whatever you want to call it, and then they're going to do it next year when they allegedly play. But aren't they going to have another CBA war after this short season's over? Am I wrong? Like, that's all I've been hearing about for a month, is they're going to have another war.
Yeah, they've got another CBA fight that's going to be in their hands very soon. After this year, it's going to start because the deal is almost up. And as far as the DH goes, I've told you this for years. I'm so sick of the dopey DH, you know, the pitcher hitting in the National League. I've been done with it for a long time. Like, honestly, and the money aspect of it too. You know, you got a guy like Gerrit Cole, and I'm using the Yankee example here. I know I am. You know, you're paying that guy $35 million a year. You really want him to get hurt, you know, running to first base or getting hit by a pitch or something like that. These pitchers are worth so much money to these franchises now. Why would you want to have any kind of extra chance of them getting hurt out on the field? I just don't get it. So it's gone now. And it'll you're 100% right. It will never be back. Because you could say it's for 2 years. Once you put the carrot out there and they start doing it, they are never going to put it back in.
I'll tell you another reason why they won't put it back in, because DHs have a job and they make a lot of money. And so what's going to happen is it's going to create a job, another bat in the lineup that is paid big money to fulfill that role, right? Pitchers pitch, DHs swing bats. That's what they do. So they're going to have two different roles. Pitchers, as you said, make tons of money. DHs are going to make fat money. So they're never going to go back to it, in my opinion. Plus, it's more exciting. I have to say, I mean, unequivocally, my whole life, here's two things. One, pitchers can't hit. Okay? So, you know, 1 in 10 get a hit, right? I understand. I mean, yeah, like, it's just... There, you may be right. It might be a 1 in 100, but I'm saying, like, you know, you might get 1 hit in 10 at bats or 1 in 20. I don't even know what the number is. I don't even want to know what it is. It's so bad. But there are a few pitchers that can hit, and there have been guys that have been able to, you know, get on base and you know, single out to the outfield, whatever, hit it through the hole, whatever. But, you know, a rare day you see one of them get a hold of one and knock it out of the park. But it's a miracle. Like, and then when Big Sexy did it in San Diego, they talked about it for the rest of his life, right? Like, so it's a big issue with, you know, if a pitcher hits for any kind of success, people talk about it. They're like, wow, this guy can hit. Like Bumgarner could hit, right? But most of them suck. They're terrible. Yeah. I mean, it is just an automatic out. It's embarrassing. It's a waste of time, and it ruins the game. I don't care what anybody says. People say it's part of the game, strategy and all this other nonsense. The reality is that you got a guy on second and third with two outs, and up comes the pitcher. You're done. I mean, that's it. I mean, what are they, literally 5% chance, if that, to get a hit? So, you know, you're just going to – you blow opportunities. You have a big inning going, and then the pitcher comes up. And if it's in the first, you know, six innings, really five now in Major League Baseball, you're just doomed. You're not going to yank the guy in the first five innings. What do pitchers pitch now? They pitch five and a third, 5 2/3, and then they – if they get into the sixth, it's a miracle, right? Bottom line is bullpens are from the sixth inning on. Mostly, right? And then seventh inning on, it's automatic. And then now pitchers all have pitch counts because they make so much money and they don't want them to blow out their arms and have Tommy John surgery. I personally don't think the number of pitches is the problem with Tommy John. I think it's throwing too hard and throwing all kinds of, you know, sliders and cutters and throwing off speed and throwing curveballs and throwing anything where they put just massive torque on their arm. That's why they have flexor strains. That's why they have elbow problems. It all comes from, in my opinion, putting bizarre angles on your arm, which is exactly what they're doing. You know, grips and arm angles. Fair enough. That's what it is. And then the rest of it is, you know, in my opinion, when the kids are born and they start playing at Little League level and then they go to high school level and then to college and pros, if that's their path to glory. I think the best pitch that I've ever seen is just that they throw a fastball, right? That the kids can throw gas and just throw strikes, throw fastballs and be done with it. But nowadays, and I have friends that have kids that pitch, right? And they all talk to me. They're always bragging to me about, oh, he's got a two seamer, a four seamer, and he's got a curveball and a changeup and a slider. And the minute I hear him start talking about all these other filthy pitches that the kid has, I know he's headed to the operating table. That's where he's headed. I mean, you know at Carver High. It's that simple. If you start telling a high school kid to throw curveballs and cutters and sliders and changeups and taking all that power from your arm into a fake motion of dropping a off-speed pitch, it's going to put massive, I think, unwanted torque on your elbow and your arm.
No, this is how these kids get hurt at a young age. You're 100% right. There's been a billion pitching guys, gurus, who have told you not to let these kids, when they're 11, 12, 13 years old, start throwing these crazy breaking stuff. And for me, Scotty, the DH thing in the National League is going to be interesting because it's going to be the teams that get the big advantage out of it. Think about the Mets. They don't want Cespedes running around in the outfield anymore. They're going to be able to DH him now every day. How about the Phillies? You know, they like to have JT Realmuto stick in the lineup. You know, he's a catcher. You got to sit him once in a while. Now you could DH him and get him in the lineup that way. The Dodgers have multiple guys who can DH. So from that aspect, it opens up a lot of things for these National League teams.
Do you watch all right, so you and I we have one little difference is that, like, okay, I'm a Pirate fan and a Yankee fan, and people don't like that and they can piss off. I don't care. It's simple. I grew up my whole life in Pittsburgh, like Pirates, right? So I love the Pirates, and the problem here is payroll is literally less than our payroll at Sports Grid. Okay. So here's the they can win. They can't win with that payroll. There is to it. And then reality is that the Yankees, I've lived here for over 20 years in New York. I've been 5 million Yankees. I've even told you I go to Yankee games at Yankee Stadium. I went all the time. I went all the time. I liked it. There's something about it. The place was magical. It was mythical. It was like there were ghosts there. I felt like you could smell it. It was like an atmosphere. It just was just the fat place was so unbelievable that it was undeniable and awesome and great. And then they built the new one and it's antiseptic and it sucks. I mean, it's a nice stadium and everything. It's worth $1 billion, whatever, but it's just half-assed compared to the old Yankee Stadium. I know it's more modern. I know it's newer. I know it's better. I know it has better suites and better amenities and better concessions and everything else. I got to tell you, the only concession I care about when I go to baseball games is beer and bratwurst. That's it. I don't really care about anything else. I know kids get, you know, their ice cream dots and all this other nonsense and pretzels and everything. But I go there. I used to just go for beer and baseball. Right. So I like both teams, but I think, you know, the National League, and I've watched it my whole life. It sucks. It just sucks because pitchers hit, and that's all that's doing.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all events with Carver High. So Anyway, do you disagree with me? I listen, I've watched it my whole life. And every time, like, I'm at a game, and I've seen it forever now, my point is that you and I go to Yankee games a lot, right? So I've been there 5 million times, so have you, and you're a Yankee fan. I mean, that's it. Pure and simple. You don't like anybody else. That's it. My experience is growing up in Pittsburgh as a kid, I'm a lot older than you by, like, you know, I think 15 years older than you or something like that. So I've been going to Pirate games longer. You know, I was a teenager before you were born, right? So I was going to the 71 and 79 World Series, and I'm watching pitchers come to the in the World Series. I'm watching, like, pitchers come up to bat. I'm like, oh God, here's an out. You know, and I just think it as my entire life, I think it's terrible. And I just don't like it. Now I understand the purists, the you know, the old timers and the baseball purists and the even beat guys that cover the game that will still try to sell you. Fair enough. I'm cool with people that want to sell you that it's a part of the game and it's part of the strategy and you have to deal with it and you have to work your way and manage your way around it and play your way around it, right? Everybody has to deal with the same problem. But I think, you know, Carver, how you tell me how you feel. I think the game advances and progresses in the right way for, you know, I think more opportunity for people to do well and have a job and more opportunity for the game to be more exciting, more runs, more hits, more home runs, more scoring chances, more fan excitement. Like when the pitcher comes up, when I'm at the game, I'm going out to, you know, take a leak or grab a beer. I don't even watch. I'm like, whatever. I'm looking at my phone when the pitcher comes up. How do you feel about it? Don't you think when they are playing and batting, it just sucks?
It's awful. I used to respect the whole strategy angle of it. I know that people used to get really wound up with, oh, you know, there's more strategy in the National League game. It's a more classy game. You know, it's not so easy, you know, just roll all the hitters out there. But there's a couple things that changed it for me. One was obviously the injuries. I was tired of seeing pitchers getting hurt, running bases and legging out doubles and getting hit by pitches. I just wasn't there for that stuff anymore. And, you know, the strategy angle of it, whatever, dude. You know, you can't have two separate leagues going by different rules. Just because, especially with the interleague play now, and that's really what killed it. The dopey interleague play is what ended the two separate rules, because now they play interleague every single day of the season, Scotty. So how can you guys have two different rules running around? You need to have one set of rules for the entire game of baseball. Does the AFC and the NFC have two different rules in the NFL? Does the East and the Western Conference and the NBA and the NHL have two separate rules? No, they don't. No. You got to have the same rules, and you're not taking away jobs, which the taking away the DH and the AL would do. So now you add jobs and you add a DH in the NL, and people are going to be happy.
Listen, so here's another one for you. So I'm at the game, and I used to always be like, oh, here we go. John Candelaria is out at second base after an error or something, and we got to wait for someone to bring him out a jacket. Like, you remember when they bring out the pitcher a jacket to wear if he got on base, and he'd put on like the team jacket? They still do it, but it's embarrassing. Yeah. It's just so embarrassing. First of all, they can't even run. I mean, are there any athletes in the world in worse shape than pitchers? I mean, like the litany of fat asses and losers that are out there, all they do is, you know, people make fun of these guys like Big Sexy and everything, but because all that matters is their arm. That's it. They don't, but what else do they do? And they pitch every 5 days. And then when they're done pitching, what happens? They put on this giant sleeve of ice for like hours after the game. And then you see in movies, like, right, the pitcher's like Bull Durham or whatever, cracking beers. He's got his arm hanging off. He's got a bag of ice on it. Pitchers do nothing. What do they do? And how about the bullpen? They're even worthless. I mean, like, when you look at, you know, look out there and see what they're doing. I mean, they're sleeping in chairs. They're out there, like, literally playing. And I'm not talking about dice. They're playing with something else. And they're spitting and chewing gum and drinking beer. I mean, they're talking offense. I know for a fact there's, like, players out there get chicks numbers out in the. They're out there like single guys that are in the open. They're out there like getting chicks' numbers and their cell phone in the middle. Pitchers are worthless. They have one job, pitch. That's it. Can't have some pitcher ruin my game. And the base pass, they can't run. They're slow. They're stupid. They don't react on the base pass. They're an automatic danger when they're out there to get injured or to screw up a scoring opportunity. You can't even deny it. It's just, it's so automatic, right? And so I got no problem with it. And like I said, once they do it, it's never going to turn back. Once they started, it's just automatic. I think they're going to just keep going with it. And I know that coming up a little bit here in like, I don't know, 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Nick Grogue of the Athletic in Denver and see what he has to say about it. He covers the Rockies and Major League Baseball for the Athletic. And, you know, I'm hearing all this stuff, right? The Players Association wants more games that they don't view the proposed 60-game season as enough of an increase in games, because what they want, just so we're clear, is they get the full prorated salary, right? So now all these hardheads want more games. So the more games they play, the more money they'll make. The less games they play, the less money they'll make. This is real simple math. This stuff isn't difficult to figure out at all. But this, you know, final drama here, the final stage of just executing the deal and signing the deal and shaking hands and pretending like we're all friends again, even though we know that they're not friends at all. Don't be fooled into believing because they cut a deal that they're friends. I am telling you emphatically that the players cannot stand this guy, Rob Manfred. They can't stand him. He makes them sick to their stomachs. And, you know, these guys aren't a bunch of Rhodes Scholars, okay? I know, like, you know, you've heard me before say that they're stupid. There's a few of them that are smart. A very small portion of them that are smart. I'm sorry. Listen, I covered a sport for over 25 years. Don't tell me. I've interviewed every one of them. I never met so many dumb people in my life. I've said it a thousand times. No one likes hearing it. And, you know, there's one thing. I'm pretty clever fella, okay? Thanks. And when I'm talking to someone and they're an idiot, I know it. I'm just like, bro, what are you saying to me? Are you stupid or something? Like, because I can't follow your flow. I have no idea what you're saying to me because you're so stupid. So here's the deal. They don't know what they want. They just know they're all very simple guys. And you can say whatever you want about what I'm saying right now. It's true. They spend their whole life playing baseball. They're not worried about books and getting an education. Now, some of them are. Fair enough. I know some of them have really good educations and IQs and all that. I get it. But the majority don't. And what they do know is one thing is real simple, is how big's that paycheck when I take it down to the bank? Okay. How many numbers, how many zeros, how many numbers are on that check? That I know. You ever seen people say, I'm not good with math, but I'm good at counting $100 bills. Okay. No one, trigonometry, algebra, all this other stuff, chemistry, biology, all that stuff, fancy, you know, schooling, high school, college, all those high end, you know, sophisticated math and everything else, and SAT, all that. Most baseball players can't pass those tests. Not one of them. I mean, they're all just like, what? SAT, ACT, trigonometry, algebra, what? All they know is stacks and Banzelmaker dance, okay? If you have lots of stacks, then you live in a big house and you drive your five cars. Big house, five cars, so you want to be a rock superstar and live long in a big house, five cars, coming up in the world, don't trust nobody. You like that one, Carver?
That was so good. You know, got it going there. You got it going with that one.
But you know it's true, right? All they know is this disagreement isn't good. We're not having this. We're just not, you know, this 60-game plan is just, it's just another posturing move by the owners, and it's just a whole lot of nonsense. We're just not having it. What they want is someone, you know, obviously Tony with that big goatee has said, you're going to get your full prorated, so the more games you play, the more you're going to make. All they know is more money. All they know is more. If you want to know what baseball players want, all you have to do is here, fill in the blank, and what's the two words you need to know when it comes to the contracts and money and greed and how long and how much? And those two words are Blake Snell. That's it. Blake Snell. All you had to do, that guy, I'm not doing nothing without my money.
Cash is king.
I'm going to get mine. And then if you don't like that one, just go Bryce Harper. But at least you have the stones to say it's true. I'm not playing unless you pay me my money, my 35 mil a year. All they know about, once you, and I hope they all make tons of money. That's fantastic. I could care less. I hope they all make tons of money. I really do. I hope they make tons of money because all they know is once you make lots of money, I mean, once you make a lot of money, I'm talking, if you're making $10 million a year, even $5 million a year, $5 million a year, $10 million a year, $15, $20 million a year, once you start making that kind of money, all you want to know is how do I make more of it? I just want to make more of this because I got so much money and I can guarantee you what, nobody's arguing with me. My wife don't argue with me. Nobody argues with me. The more stacks I got, the less people argue with me. But money does not eradicate problems. Know that. You can have all the money in the world, you still have every problem in the world. I know millions of rich people that got divorced, lost their kids, lost everything else. But they only care about money, baseball players. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Let's go out to Denver and hook up with Nick Roque of The Athletic. We haven't talked to him in a while. I think the last time I talked to Nick, I was on CBS. How you doing there, Nick? Do we got him? Nick, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Are you? How are you doing?
I'm hanging in, brother. It's good to have you on the bench. Hopefully we'll get all these little kinks out here. So, you know, I was just thinking about that ballpark out there, right? And I was, you know, I did a show there once and at this place called the Sports Column or something that was across from the stadium or out in the outfield or something like that. I remember I did this live show there once when I was doing Pharrell on a Bench back in the day in Los Angeles, and they had just built that stadium and it had gotten, you know, it was really popular and brand spanking new and everything else like that. So I guess my first question is, when they go back, because you know they're going to play baseball, right? And it looks like at some level they're going to, you know, they're not going to let fans in. And so I wonder, like, what are the losses that you would guess? Like, you know, they count on filling that ballpark, right, in Denver. They count on fans coming there and, frankly, paying their bills. I mean, if they're not, you know, bringing fans into the ballpark, they're going to have trouble making money, aren't they?
Yeah, although I think there'll be some – I think people will still sort of go just to even be near a game, I suspect, a little bit. I mean, I hope there's not a rush of people just coming to the ballpark or coming near the ballpark. But I think just having baseball around, I think, makes the city more alive. And I think you'll see a little bit of boost. The value, like a lot of the stuff, and this is what players get frustrated by when they hear owners say that they're going to lose a bunch of money. Well, like a lot of the real estate around stadiums, and it's like this in Denver with the Rockies owner, he owns a lot of the stuff around the stadium too. Like having baseball alive, even without fans in the ballpark, keeps the value of those properties up. So, I think there's the value of bringing baseball back is huge, even without fans. I mean, you know, the short term and long term, really.
So when they shut down spring training, right, and you were looking at that ball club and you saw what they had and they were getting ready for the season and everything else like that, right, what did you think of that team before this whole crazy pandemic shut the world down?
They were a really confusing team because, 2 years ago they made the playoffs. They'd made the playoffs twice in a row. And then they completely fell apart last year. They won 71 games. And then last winter, they did nothing. They added nobody. They did nothing in free agency. They added no players to their major league roster. And thinking that the team that they had on paper was not the 71-win team, they thought the team that they had on paper was the team from 2 years ago. Now, the players don't necessarily agree with that. That's why you saw Nolan Arenado get into a cold war with his GM. He wanted help. He wanted more players on the roster. He wanted a better roster because he was not happy with a 71-win team. But the owner and the general manager thought that they legitimately thought they were World Series contenders coming into this year. I guess we're never going to totally find out. I don't know how much you can learn from a 60-game season or a 65-game season, but they were a really weird team on paper, to be honest. I mean, they're exact same team from last year, and they were you always hear a GM say, you know, we're counting on some bounce backs. The Rockies were counting on a whole lot of bounce backs.
Yeah, they must be tripping if they think they're going to win the World Series. That's not happening, and you know it, right? So I want to know what the deal is with Nolan Arenado. I've actually heard people say, is this the last we're going to see of him in a Rockies uniform, or is he even, obviously it would appear that he was going to play with them this year at some level, but are his days numbered there? Because they pay him a lot of money, and would they rather get rid of that and see what they could get for him? Is it one of those deals, or do you think he's comfortable there and it's not happening?
Well, the say in all this is entirely his. He has an opt-out that he can exercise next year, after next season, right at the same time that the CBA comes due in Major League Baseball. So he can walk if he wants. It's all his. It's not a mutual option. It's only his. So he can walk if he wants. And right now he is very much not happy with the Rockies. So it seemed like they were either going to need to make him very happy all of a sudden or trade him or watch him walk away. Like that's what it seemed like. But now that the owners are freaking out over every single dime, I don't know what the market is for him with other teams. Like if he walks and chooses to become a free agent after next season, he might find the market has just totally fallen out from underneath him. But on the other hand, he's a player who's trending toward being a Hall of Famer. Like he's a legitimately elite player. Other teams might still be interested in trading for him. Probably not this season, even if trades are allowed. But maybe before next season, a team might want to trade for him. But again, they would need to be trading for him knowing that he would stay past 2021 because he would still have an option. It's very complicated. And now with this season in total disarray, to be totally honest, I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen with him in his future. But if he wants, he can stay with the Rockies for the rest of his career and get paid. I mean, his contract is guaranteed. It didn't seem like he was going to want to do that. But now that we're here in the middle of what was going to be a season, I mean, who knows at this point?
I mean, you and I both, my leaning would be that he's going to leave there. He's going to bolt. I mean, because he was already miserable. And now he's like, and I never once, and no offense, no disrespect, I never once considered them a factor right now with the team that I saw. I wouldn't even consider them even a factor of anything more than misery again in this season, if you will. And that if he's already miserable, then I think he's going to bolt, because that guy has still got mad game left in him, does he not? And like he would have 15 offers in 5 minutes, and you know it.
I think he would. I mean, I think you're right, but to what amount? I mean, owners are posturing like they're going to enter into an era of austerity where they're not interested in paying anybody. I think, though, he would be willing to take a pay cut if he knew that he was going to land on a good team and they were going to pay him at least fairly, like if not as much as he would make with the Rockies, at least fairly. If I had to make a guess, I think he would be okay with that, because right now, the Rockies owner over the offseason joked that he thinks, he was sort of joking, not joking, that he thinks the Rockies were going to win 94 games this year. They were not going to win 94 games. I'm telling you, they're not, like, I know that. Nolan Arenado knows that. And that's why he got to be so frustrated. He's like, what do you think? Like, he could not understand why they were so convinced of that. And so if that continues, if that kind of disconnect continues between him and his bosses, then yeah, I think his motivation for wanting to leave is not disappearing. No.
And what pitchers are going to get them to 94 wins? When I look at their, this is just me. I'm not even trying to be mean right now. When I look at their pitching staff, I almost, it's like I have buddies that have a softball team with better. Honestly,
they pitched their way into the 2020 team. They really did. Between Herr Marquez and Kyle Freeland and Don Gray, they had the start of a good rotation. They were all very young. They were throwing strikeouts. But all you need is for trouble and everything falls apart. There's no depth to them. And when you pitch at Coors Field, even if you have all of the potential in the world, your margin for error is tiny. It's tiny. You cannot sustain it over an entire season. If your walk rate goes up even a little bit, if your home run rate goes up even a little bit, you're sunk. You get three pitchers. If you're completely in love with them, that's not enough. That's not enough to have. Even their own division, they're not the Dodgers, the World Series contender. That's always going to be their biggest challenge. And one season, one and a half seasons, even two seasons does not make a guarantee with that pitching staff. No, they needed more and they did not get more. And they're just crossing their fingers and hoping.
Wow, that is crazy. I think they have a lot of work to do, Nick. Let me ask you, what do you think of this this thing? It's going to happen, right? We're going to play baseball. There's no way I'm not buying that. I think they have a deal. They just want to roll it out on the red carpet their way. They're going to announce it their way. They're going to toy with the media, just like they've toyed with the public and the media for the last 3 months.
Yeah, no, they're going to play baseball. It's so frustrating, dude. Like, what have we been jerking around with for the last 6 weeks? Like, you couldn't have figured this out before. They should be playing 82 games.
Right.
They're going to settle on 65. Like, that's not enough, but that's what they're going to do. And then, so what damage did you do to the sport by jerking everybody around for a month? It's stupid. It's like, I think they are so focused on the short term. Owners, I don't think they totally see the damage they're causing to their teams in the long run. Like, what if the NBA is going to start playing into the summer? What if they start in December? All of a sudden, baseball doesn't have the summer to themselves. They're going to have to compete against other sports for tickets on any given night after they jerked fans around all this time. Like, the fans are not going to flock back. Necessarily, that's a lot of faith in fans that they're relying on that I don't know is entirely there.
So, I just have like 30 seconds. Do you like the DH? Are you looking forward to seeing that in the National League?
Not really, man. I like the National League game. I like to see managers do stuff. I like to see the utility guy make a difference on a roster. I see plenty of home runs and hits at Coors Field. I don't need to see more, personally. So, if that's what a DH is going to bring, like, I've been there. Really need more home runs in baseball? I don't. But, if that's how we have to bring baseball back, though, I'm okay with it.
That's because you see 45 home runs a night in that popcorn maker they play in out there, because that thing is just a home run hitting machine. Hey, Nick, great stuff tonight. It's good catching up. We'll catch up through the season, all right? Thanks for coming on the bench, buddy. Be good.
Scotty, thanks, dude.
My man, Nick Roque of The Athletic. We'll come back on Pharrell on the Bench. We'll be right back. I've grown a bench. I'm watching the finals with the Celtics and Lakers back in the day, and Boston just evened up the series at one apiece. They beat L.A. at Los Angeles. I'm sitting here watching Kobe Bryant. It's freaking me out, man, because just today even, it was like they announced, and we did this on Coast to Coast. We got the news during Coast to Coast that the pilot has been basically blamed for that helicopter crash by the, the government, right? The NTSB, right? So they have determined that he was to blame for the crash. And what that means is, in essence, is that she, Vanessa Bryant, is going to take them to the cleaners, right? But the problem is that I feel like they don't have any money. I mean, it's just like, you know what I mean? It's like squeezing blood from a turnip, right? Like, I just don't know how it's going to happen. I think she's going to win that lawsuit. And not just in the same capacity as like a civil lawsuit, like the Goldman against O.J. Simpson, where he got like, what, $30 million and never saw a penny. But I think it's going to kind of be like that. I think it's going to be a wrongful death lawsuit. And it's going to be a lot deeper than that in terms of what kind of litigation they're talking about. But she's going to win that lawsuit. And I just don't know if she's going to get any money, but she's going to get a lot of attention. She's going to get a lot of attention. And I know that, I think one of the things I saw in the case was that there were multiple people that okayed the weather, the assistant pilot, everyone that was involved said it was better that day than the day before, that they were going to be okay. Let's go. We're used to it. We've done this before. So, and then the problem was that he was reporting that he was going up, but he was actually going down, right? But he was reporting that he was ascending, but he was actually descending, and he crashed. So that's a mess. And what do I do? I come in here to do the show, and I see Kobe playing on TV. Freak me out.